This week we have many big feast days. Yesterday we just celebrated the birthday of St. John the Baptist. So we can reflect on today's readings in light of what's happening in this sweep of liturgical richness. The readings today are, of course, Abram, still early in his journey of faith. Abram, who continually puts his trust in the Lord, despite so much evidence to the contrary. And it says here that he put his faith in the Lord, who credited to him as an act of righteousness. One of the most famous lines about Abram. And then in today's gospel, Jesus teaching us in the Sermon on the Mount, the principle about judging a tree by its fruit. A good tree bears good fruit, rotten tree bears bad fruit. That's the definition of a good tree, if it bears good fruit. Well, we can look at yesterday's feast. It was John the Baptist. Did John the Baptist bear good fruit? Yes, he bore very good fruit. So he's a good tree. He prepared the way for the Lord. He pointed out the Lord when he came and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." A statement of John the Baptist that's inserted in every single Mass. So the fruit of John the Baptist is continuing even to this day, until this very Mass, when we hear, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So yes, good fruit. Well, what about last Sunday, Feast of Corpus Christi? Does the Eucharist bear good fruit? Yes, good fruit. It is itself good fruit and also bears enormous, immeasurable good fruit in the world, in every moment. How about Friday's feast coming up, Feast of the Sacred Heart? Good fruit? Yes, good fruit. The fruit of divine love made known in a broken world. The best fruit is divine fruit. The next day, Immaculate Heart of Mary. Good tree? Yes, Mary's a good tree. She bears the best fruit. The next day, Sunday, is going to be the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. Did Peter and Paul bear good fruit? Yes, they bore good fruit. They're good trees. You see, the principle here is at work. Well, let's reflect on this for a moment. Jesus' point here is that it's possible for someone to take on the appearance of a good tree and not really be good. The first image he uses is the image, and it's a very profound one, of a wolf wearing the clothing of a sheep. Or wolves, ravenous wolves, hungry wolves, who come in sheep's clothing. Great image of deception. Someone who presents himself as good or as innocent, but who is in fact evil and out to destroy. That's the definition of a false prophet. He says these are false prophets. People who act as if and speak as if they're giving you good news when in fact they're doing something evil. Sad to say, there are lots of false prophets. Social media seems to breed them. the fake news, the false reports, the slanderous statements that are made left and right all over social media, false prophets. They might sound good, they might sound convincing, but in fact, no, not true. In fact, AI, my own limited experience with AI, is that it always sounds convincing, the AI answers that I get, but they're not always true. Bad fruit in sheep's clothing. Well, this is kind of a principle of discernment, right? We judge a tree by its fruit. But we have to be careful not to be too superficial about our judgments, because we might think that some passing good, or some shallow good, is good fruit, when in fact it's only a leaf or a flower. It's not fruit yet. We have to be patient to see if this tree really does bear good fruit or if it just looks good. There are times when we make decisions or we choose actions that make us feel good in the moment. In fact, most sin, that's why we do it, because we think it's good for us in the moment. That's not good fruit. That's just a leaf. The lasting effect of sin is always bad. And if we're patient, and if we're honest, and if we evaluate our actions, we can see which actions are really rotten. So the principle is you can judge a tree by its fruit. The other day I was in a conversation, somebody brought up the phenomenon now known as IVF, in vitro fertilization, which has lots of moral problems attached to it. But one of them is the production of human embryos, extra ones, some of which, most of which, are destroyed. So that's destruction of human life, bad fruit. And some of which, or some of whom, are frozen. So now there are thousands and thousands of frozen human embryos. Bad fruit. I mean, those children are not bad fruit. But the treatment of human beings, keeping them in freezers for years, and then eventually, who knows what happens to them, because nobody's regulating the so-called reproduction industry. Who knows what happens to them? Bad fruit. Now, most people will say, what about the children that are produced by IVF? That's good fruit, yes. I mean, you can't reject a child or any human life. Human life is good fruit. But there's lots and lots of bad fruit attached to this tree. So don't be so superficial as to think it's all good. That seems to be the modern approach. Let's take a look at Abraham. Now, he's a good example of a good tree who bore good fruit. But in his own experience, he didn't see the fruit. Here, the Lord appears to him again, speaks to him again, tells him again, I'm going to make you fruitful, a fruitful tree. And unlike what we heard on Monday, when Abram simply accepted and acted, the Lord said on Monday, go to a land I'll show you, and Abraham got up and went. It was his extraordinary act of faith. But at that time, everything was in the future. It was faith full of hope. Now he's been journeying a while. He's quite wealthy, but he's still childless. And so when the Lord says, he kind of repeats his promise, Abram speaks up a little bit and says, wait a minute now. I you're giving me all these gifts. What good is it? I don't have any children. So Abram's trying to evaluate the tree. Is this tree bearing good fruit? I don't have any children, so whatever you give me is going to go to my servants. And the Lord repeats the promise, says, no, I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to give you descendants as countless as the stars in the sky. So it's a symbolic way of saying, lift your sights higher, not just to earthly fruits, but to heavenly fruit. And Abram, to his great credit, puts his faith in the Lord. Abram puts his faith in the Lord. He doesn't immediately have a child. It goes on for years, even after this, without children. So the fruitfulness is not immediately evident. Now this is, the rest of the reading goes into this covenant ceremony, which I won't go into. That's an ancient way of establishing a permanent covenant bond. But let me just stick with this judging a tree by its fruit idea. Part of our difficulty is that we don't see all the fruit, partly because it hasn't appeared yet, and partly because we simply can't see what God sees. We can look up into the sky and count the stars, but there are a lot of stars we don't even see, especially in Manila, because you can't see stars very well in the city. But we can't see all the stars, so there's a lot of fruit that is not visible to us, and it makes it difficult for us to make final judgments. This is where we have to act in faith. Faith is not acting by sight, right? It's acting by a higher sight. It's acting in trust that God sees the fruit. So that when I make a choice now that seems not to bear any fruit at all, or seems even to bear bad fruit, I can do so with trust in the Lord. An example that came to mind as I was reflecting on this is when parents discipline their children. This is a tough one for parents, especially with teenagers. The teenagers start to go astray. The parents rightly say, no, that is not permitted in this house, that's not acceptable in this life, not in this family, and here's the consequence of your bad decision, of some punishment, of some correction. The child, the teenager, goes crazy. I hate you, you don't love me, you don't let me do anything, on and on. And the parents suffer from that. They really suffer. They said, this is bad fruit. I'm trying to do the right thing, and all it creates is division in the family. My children hate me. I'm divided from the parents can't agree. Seems like bad fruit. But I'll tell you, in time, that bears good fruit. Discipline bears good fruit. And I know many, many parents who can testify to this. Maybe it will take years. But the children realize, no, I was right to be correct. It was right that I was corrected. One of the hard ones, this is maybe not as big an issue here, but it's certainly a terrible issue on the world stage. Parents who will not support the transgender ideas of their children. The child says, the girl says, I'm a boy. And the parent says, you're not a boy, you're a girl. That's just the truth. It's not even a judgment. It's simply the truth. And the child says, no. I'm a boy. Or whatever, I can't remember the example I just used. but that idea of being able to decide I'm not the gender I was created to be. When the parents oppose that child, they face a lot of seeming immediate bad fruit. There, again, it creates tension in the relationship with the child, if not a complete break. And the society pours all kinds of abuse on the parents. You're not a good parent. You're not a good parent. You hate your children. You don't accept your children. You don't love your children. That seems like bad fruit, but I'm telling you, we have to put up with a certain amount of rotten leaves to get good fruit. And persevering in the truth is the only thing that bears lasting good fruit. We cannot embrace a lie or an error or a deception or a social demand. We can't embrace something that's outside the will of God and expect good fruit to come from it. It doesn't work. Bad fruit. Now, I know this is a controversial now, and people will say I'm promoting bad fruit myself. No. The truth in time is what bears good fruit. You might not see it now, you might not see it for a generation, but do not give up on the truth. It's the same as the decision of Abram to put his trust in the word of the Lord, even though he doesn't see any good come from it yet. So we are being encouraged now to, yes, judge trees by their fruit, to judge our own lives by our fruit, but with awareness that we don't see everything, and we have to journey by faith. Faith is what opens our eyes to the greatest fruit. That's what we'll be celebrating on Friday, Sacred Heart. That's what we celebrate. That's what we celebrate all the time. The great fruit of Jesus' sacrificial love. The cross doesn't look very good. If you look at simply the suffering side, the death side, it bore the greatest fruit. The tree that bore the greatest fruit is the cross of Jesus Christ. So let's persevere in faith, not be distracted by demands of social media or whatever is politically correct. We cling to what we know is true, what is revealed by God, the way of love, the way of sacrificial love, the way of persevering love, that bears the best fruit.